Now let's continue on here in Revelation 13. Now, what I want you to do is just see that all of these things are coming parallel with each other. Some a little bit ahead of the other, some a little behind, but they're all going to take place. Now, we are seeing with the Pope that he's really making progress, and we just heard the announcement this week that September 24th he's going to address the United States Congress, House of Representatives and the Senate together. And it's like one commentator said, I think it was Michael Savage, he's no more religious than whatever. He's political, and all you're going to do is hear the one world political thing. Okay. However, I do not think he's the last pope. There's too much that needs to be done. And we need one who will do more than what he is doing, but each thing builds upon another like all of the prophecies. So here is the other beast, verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. That means that he has power over a one-world religion, and that is coming. That is coming. Keep your eyes on that. See, now, when we read these things, again, expand out with the fulfillment of what it's going to mean from just a few words in the Bible. And he causes the earth and all who dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He will be described as Christ manifested in the flesh. But he will be, the beast power will be possessed of Satan, the devil. Okay? And he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Now that's going to be very convincing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders which were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast could also speak and causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Okay. Now then, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and poor, and the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. That is the mark of the beast. Now, this is coming. Let's tie something else in with this, because verse 17 says, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now let's come here to chapter 18. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Chapter 18. Now, several times years in the past recent years, Harry Curley, who used to work for Wells Fargo Bank out in Simi Valley, he said that he believed that the mark of the beast would start with the corporations and then come back from there. And we're going to see he's exactly correct. Okay? So let's tie the beast in with business. Okay? Verse 3, Revelation 18. Because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. The elite international corporations. All right. Here's an interesting little article. Okay. Now, they're using the older technology of the digital angel, the little rice chip, rice-sized chip that goes in between the thumb and the index finger. Okay? And it's being used in business. Now remember incrementalism. You start it, you get people used to it. Now you see, this will be a phenomenal thing because here's what it will do. This will be so good. Now remember, not all good comes from God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and most of the good that comes from that ends up in sin. Now look at all the problems we have with ID theft. Anthem BC just got hacked for 80 million people. And have you ever wondered, why don't they really prosecute these people for identity theft? Because then they couldn't bring in the mark of the beast. Now they've developed it beyond the chip to have it on your right hand, on the top of your hand, with an invisible tattoo. Now, if you have the mark of the beast, you'll have your identity. You'll be able to buy and sell. It'll be your passport. It will provide you with medical. It will open and close your computers, open and close your doors, open and close your cars, start them. You won't need any locks. It will give you information. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now here is a full-fledged attempt in Sweden to do it. Now they do it afar off so that people won't raise a lot of fuss. And Sweden is the most non-Christian Christian country in Europe. So a perfect place to start. Obviously they don't read the Bible. So here's the article. Office puts chips under staff's skin. Now, the way they do, they have like a hypodermic needle, and they just stick it right between the web of your right hand, between the thumb and the index finger, and inject it. Now, this is one where you have to get near to the apparatus to make it work. But let's see what it does in this business compound. They're having a whole technology building in Sweden where everyone who works there will have this. So this is January 29th, 2015. Want to gain entrance to your office? Get on a bus? Or perhaps buy a sandwich? Remember they have the wave technology now? They also have the bump technology. Two cell phones you can open to each other and transmit data, one from the other, just with a bump. Goes right from one computer to another computer in the phone. We're all getting used, we were all getting used to swiping a card to do all things. But at Epicenter, a new high-tech office building in Sweden, they are trying a different approach, a chip under the skin. The company is Felicio di Casa, whose company is one of the attendants, arrives at the front door, holds up his right hand against it to gain entrance. Boop, it opens. Now, if you don't have it, you can't get in. Inside, he does the same thing to get into the office space he rents, and he can wave his hand to operate the photocopier. See how that is? Lock you into something that is indispensable. That's all because he has a tiny RFID radio frequency identification chip about the size of a grain of rice implanted in his hand. Soon others, among the 700 people expected to occupy the complex, will also be offered the chance to be chipped. Probably make it a condition for rental. And if you want a job there, it is a condition of your employment. Can't buy and sell. Can't work. See, think of the ramifications. Now, What I want you to think is how this is going to come about. Tie that in with what I brought last week about the coming depression and the collapse of all money, and then a world currency. And they need a world currency before they have the mark of the beast. Why do they need that? Because the elite establishment of the world is making too much money on the drug trade worldwide. And as long as it is illegal, they've got to have money, paper money or coin money, to do the transaction to buy the illegal drugs. Because if it's on the chip, boop, goes right to your bank. They know what you're doing. See? So the total enforcement of the mark of the beast will be quite a ways down the road. But what I'm getting at is this, incrementally. Here, this whole building is going to use it. Just think of the reports and the testimonies. Why, this is such a wonderful thing, I don't need any keys. As a matter of fact, I've even had my house converted to it and my car converted to it. And all I need to do is just, boop, open the car door, boop, start the car, boop, get into my house, boop, turn on my television. See? Okay? Amazing. All right. Along with access to doors and photocopiers, they're promised further services in the long run, including ability to pay in the cafe with the touch of a hand. On the day of the building's official opening, the developer chief executive was himself chipped on stage. I decided that if I was to come to grips with this technology, I had better bite the bullet and get chipped too. See, all voluntary. Slight coercion. There'll be people who said, oh, well, yeah, I never want to work here. Well, go get a job someplace else. Okay. For the time being, you can do that. Now, when the government gets involved and says you do it, you can't get away without paying your taxes. You must report every transaction. They will have the ability to have the computers to follow everyone in the world. And remember the comment I've made from time to time? I wonder what those big buildings in Utah that the government is building is all about. Millions and millions and millions of square footage for computers, supercomputers. So it's coming. The whole process is being organized by a Swedish biohacking group. Okay? First, to get it in, inserted, he says, one of its members who was doing the inserting of the chip, a rather fearsome looking tattooist inserted my chip. Satan himself. Okay, first he massaged the skin between my thumb and index finger and rubbed in some disinfectant. He told me to take a deep breath while he inserted the chip. There was a moment of pain, not much worse than any other injection. Okay? So I asked him whether people really wanted to get this intimate with technology. Notice his answer. We are already interested with technology all the time. Today, it's a bit messy. We need PIN codes and passwords. Wouldn't it be easier to just touch with your hand? Really, it's very intuitive. So there you go. It is coming. Okay? So what do we do? All right? Let's ask that question. How do we get by in these days? First of all, we understand that Satan the devil is the one who is behind all of this. Let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. It makes you wonder what the Apostle John thought when he saw all of this. I don't know what the picture looked like that he saw when he wrote all of this. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now then, remember what it says. The wise shall understand, but none of the wicked shall understand. The wicked shall do wickedly. Okay? Now notice, remember what we read in Revelation 13 about Satan the devil. Okay? Now you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now this is not only a statement concerning those in Paul's time, but it's a statement for all people, for all times, and a prophecy to us today. In which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. So it's going to be quite a thing when it comes. And who knows right from wrong? Good from evil. The Bible is going to be debunked. Everyone is going to think that this new coming one world religion, which will require a new pope, is really God's answer. And God's answer to stopping all wars. Look at this marvelous, wonderful man. He stopped wars. Okay. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, and doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Okay? So the question is this coming one world religion going to be Christian? No, it's going to be Babylonian. All religions together. Now, they've been working on this for a long time. Remember the sermon I did years ago? I think it was clear back in 1993. Yes. The World's Parliament of Religions meeting in Chicago. The first one was in 1893. And they've been working to form a new world scripture, taking wisdom sayings from all religions. Here it is. I've had it for years. World Scripture, Comparative Anthology of Sacred Texts. All ready to go. From all religions. Some from the Bible, some from the Quran, some from all of the religious writings of men. Again, how does Satan get it through? Incrementalism, yes, and then sleight of hand. And then you reach a certain critical mass, and then you push hard for it. Now that's what they're doing with vaccines. They finally have all the media lined up to push this. So they'll probably get it in. And they want to jail parents who don't want to have their children vaccinated. And they tried to palm it all off on these right-wing radical nuts. Well, they did a survey. And most of those who refuse the vaccinations are up in Liberalville in Northern California, just across the Golden Gate. 57% of the parents don't want their kids immunized. Now, it is true that they are organic eating, you know, so forth, but it's not the right-wing nuts. You always have to have a villain that you accuse so you can get done what you want to get done. Now, come here to chapter 6, because we will see this is what we are up against. Yeah, I hope you weren't too surprised with this world scripture. Never heard of it. Okay. While you're turning to Ephesians 6, let me get the publication date here. A project of the International Religious Foundation. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. This was 1991. How about that? 24 years ago. And they were working on it for years before that. Okay. The comment was made, had my last flu shot 20 years ago and haven't had one since, and haven't had the flu. That tell you something? Little sidebar on flu shots. They get all the experts together, all the expert scientists, name them all Gruber. Do you know who Gruber is? He's the one who wrote the health bill, 2,300 pages that you had to vote on it to find out what was in it. How's that for transparency? You know, people have just been absolutely hoodwinked and taken over. Think what it's going to be down the road in the future when everything gets really desperate and then they offer the solution. Now, we can end this, but you've got to get that on your right hand or on your forehead. And if you don't do that, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't work, you can't get any medical treatment. Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? See? And how many people will be intimidated by it? And also, with those, even the Seventh-day Adventists in some churches of God, they say that the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping, so they'll say it's all right to get it. So there you go. Incrementalism, little misinterpretation, false doctrine and teaching. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and that's what we need to be doing, being strong in the Lord. Just don't have so many things crowding in upon you that you don't pray and you don't study. And in the might of his strength, because all of these things are going to be gigantic spiritual and mental battles to fight it against the things in the world, which will come at us as so nice. Look, isn't that convenient? Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he brings things that look good with benefits and rewards. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Isn't that true? Boy, I cannot help but think of the different governments of the world, and especially our own government. Amazing. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, prayer, study, the word of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things to stand. That's what we are to do. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Don't let any lies penetrate you. Don't let things that sound logical but are not the truth persuade you to be giving in to their ways of reasoning. Girded with truth, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, that's the obedience to God, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always the gospel to live by, the gospel to preach, do the things that we need to do, and besides all of this, take up the shield of faith. You've got to have the faith of God to do it, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, Paul wrote that to the Ephesians back there during his day, but it is also a prophecy for our day. All right, now what we need to do is this. We need to realize that there are going to be difficult situations in the future. Here's some of the things that we can find in the book of Psalms to help us. Let's come to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, just a little short psalm of six verses before you come to Psalm 14, which says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. See, so we're going to be fighting against all of these things. Now, this is quite a psalm because there are times when you will feel that really you're standing out there all alone. Okay? Verse 1, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Think of how he felt, what he went through. Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? There will be times when you reach that point. How long shall I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have overcome him, and my foes rejoice when I am moved. But as for me, here's the key. In spite of all the difficulties, the emotions and the traumas, and we will have many, many, many of those in our lives just ahead of us. But as for me, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me, even in the face of death. Because the resurrection, which will be absolutely indescribable, will be the next moment of your thought. Okay. Now let's come to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, my soul? See, a lot of these things make you feel depressed. Okay. Why do you moan within me? What is the answer? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the salvation of my countenance and my God. Now you go through a lot of these psalms and you will see that there was, what was that, 43? That was 43, not 42. Come up here to verse 5. Well, it carries right along with it. Okay, sorry about that. I misled you. That was 43. Let's come here to 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and moan within me? Hope in God. Same message, right? Yes. For I shall yet praise him for the salvation of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the Hermons of the Mount of Mizar. Okay, then verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, even a prayer to God of my life. Yes, indeed. So that's quite a thing. Come down here to verse, let's continue on here. I will say to God my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a crushing in my bones, my enemies taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Would we be able to stand up with that kind of taunting? With that kind of ridicule? And yes, they're starting at it right now, aren't they? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why do you moan within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the salvation of my countenance and my God. 42 and 43, very similar, aren't they? All right. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. This is why I gave the sermon in times of trouble. Study the Psalms. Every human emotion that you would go through are contained here in the Psalms. Okay? Psalm 30 and verse 10. Just one verse, all right? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious unto me. Lord, be my helper. We need the help of God in everything that we do. And when things are not going right, just pray to God, help me, God, help me. When you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, and you can't control yourself, you stop and say, God, help me. God is there to help. Let's come to Psalm 54. Psalm 54. See, God knows what we need. That's why we have all these psalms. And that's why all of these people have gone through different things for our benefit. Psalm 54, just a short one. Here's a good way to start your prayer if you're really depressed and down. And you need to let the Word of God and God's Spirit guide you in it, see. Notice verse 1, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and violent men seek after my soul. This is probably also a prophecy of some of the prayers of Jesus. Remember, he was one man against the world and Satan. They have not set God before them, Selah. Verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my soul. He shall reward evil to my enemies, destroy them in your faithfulness. We can pray for that. That's one way of praying for your enemies. God will take care of them. Don't you go out and take it into your own hands, though. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, for it is good. Now, our sacrifices are the sacrifices of the things that we do spiritually, prayer and study, and doing the things that God wants us to do. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, not some, but all. And my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. And I could tell you some stories of things that has happened in our lives because of those who have treated us much like here in this psalm, and God has taken care of them. All right. Now, let's come back here to John 16. John 16. Now, in the Love series, the first sermon that I have in the Love series is titled, Remember, When All Else Fails, God Loves You. Okay? John 16. John 16. And this will help you understand why Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but after that they can't do anything. They can't kill the life because that comes from God. This is the greatest thing for us to understand, the greatest comfort that we can rely on. And it's a promise that we can yield ourselves to God and God will hear us. Verse 26, Jesus telling his disciples, and they didn't have a clue that he was going to be killed. They may have had a suspicion after he was arrested, but this was before he was arrested. And all that Jesus would go through on that Passover day. But in the day after the resurrection, verse 26, in that day you shall ask the Father in my name. That's why all prayers are ended in the name of Jesus Christ. And I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you. You don't have to go through Jesus Christ. He has given this authority. He is our high priest. For the Father himself loves you. When all else fails, remember, God loves you. In spite of how miserable you may feel, in spite of the problems that you are going through, God loves you and will give you the strength to change and overcome. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Now that's a pretty powerful thing. Now, in our trials and difficulties, let's come here to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Let's see what Peter wrote. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now, especially when you feel no one cares for me, no one hears me, no one listens to me, everything has gone wrong, I had a bad day, I injured my foot, I hit my thumb with a hammer, I broke my glasses, I dropped the dishes, the food burned in the oven. Okay? the debt collector knocked on the door, you know, whatever else can go wrong. I've had days like that. You've had days like that. Okay. He cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, don't go try and drown your sorrows by drinking. If you're having trouble, stop drinking. Okay? Be vigilant. Don't be giving in to all these things. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour, whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Think about all the persecution that the Romans were bringing upon the true Christians at that time. Now we're going to see it happen again. Listen, I've said this before, but only from America can the gospel be preached. Now, the only thing that is going to forestall some of these things coming is the preaching of the gospel. And that's why it's important that the churches of God, all the members in particularly and ministers, get right with God and that they really preach the truth. Don't preach nice, smooth, soft things when trouble is on the horizon. Let them know that God is there to help. Warn the world. Tell them you're following lies. Everything you believe is a lie. The government is a lie. The churches of the world are a lie. All the religions of the world are lies. The whole economic system is a lie. Okay? Now, verse 10. There is relief. And there are times when it'll look like there will be no relief. But it will come. Now may the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory. Now think about what that one sentence says. In Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, himself, God wants to perfect you. That's what he wants to do. Was Jesus perfected by the things that he suffered? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Himself perfect you. How? With his Spirit in you. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the power into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now here's another promise, and we'll finish with this. Come to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Now, these are promises that God has given. That's why you've heard me say, we're to stand in grace, walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. The love of God. Okay? Pick it up here in verse 5. Now, this is especially true in this age that we're living in. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior. Who? Every politician, wherever you are, listen up. Okay? But be satisfied with what you have, for he has said, in no way, see, nothing is going to correct your problems and your suffering and the difficulties you are going through, except God. Now, you may need money, but unless God blesses you, all that money will do you no good. You may need intervention, but unless you trust in God, there won't be intervention. See? For in no way will I ever leave you. Now, this is a fantastic verse. Notice the promises here. No way. Now, you may have troubles and difficulties, but God isn't going to leave you. He wants to help you through them and through the troubles. No, I will never. Now, notice, no way and no, I will never. Three negatives, letting you know that God will never let you down. No, I will never forsake you in any way. So then, let us boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, these days we're living it, and they're going to come. Now, you combine this message with the one I did last week, and this will round out the picture of what is happening. So there are a lot of things that are going to take place, and it's going to come in ways that we never, ever, ever would have thought. Yet it's all right there in the Scriptures. So remember, God will help you in every way. Question, what did I hear the comments of the president at the prayer breakfast? Yes, I heard them. And I would have to say, like I covered in the sermon last week, I heard one man say, if I were a secret Muslim, I would do exactly what the president is doing. So this is how we're going to have to live our lives in the days ahead of us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.